everybody, and welcome to episode 44 of Screen Champs. I'm your host, Dubs, here with my co-host, the Madman Moan.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? Today's episode, we got Super Mario Brothers coming out, and people have a lot of opinions about it. They got a new movie coming. The Tragedy of Macbeth trailer, which looks weird as hell, but it's got Denzel in it. Netflix has a whole event going on today that we may cover, but we're going to talk about it, and we're going to give you a review for Dear Evan Hansen, the very, very dramatic musical about a kid in high school having a hard time. But first, I got to talk about some reality TV. This is probably this is probably the most honest thing I could talk about, in the sense that besides the stuff that we talk about on the show, pretty much the only thing I've watched is reality TV. And I know I mentioned Survivor a couple times here and there. We even talked about it last episode. But there was an event on Big Brother, this most recent episode, that was just so wild. And I think I'll be able to, and we're going to put the clip in, but I think I can share enough context to make it land with anyone, because it was so egregious, and it was just shocking to see it happen. Here's the backstory. So there's two people. One is Xavier. One is Kyland. Kyland is getting voted out of the house, and he is clearly upset about it. Xavier had just lost his brother 3 months before entering into the house. His brother had a son, which would be Xavier's nephew. And his nephew's name is Kobe. And he promised his brother, before he passed away, that his son would always be taken care of. He said, no matter what, your son's going to be taken care of. My nephew, he's going to be good. And one of the reasons that he told people that he was in the house, one of the things he was playing for, is to make sure that he would have money to send his nephew to college. That's something he wanted to do because he's promised his brother that. Now, he voted this other guy out of the house, or he was instrumental in it. He didn't do it himself, but whatever. And the other guy started bringing up his nephew, started bringing up that he'll need a role model. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I was shocked. I was on the edge of my seat. And I'm going to throw that clip in. Even without the whole context of the show, I think it'll still hit. So here we go.
I'm just asking. No, I thought it was a whole challenge.
I would have loved to give him a heads up, but I respect you too much as a player. And given that he was the sole vote to evict, I knew if you had time, you probably could have made things go another way.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the whole, Kobe thing, raising him to be a man and face challengers and stuff.
Are you talking about my nephew right now?
I'm asking about if, named after Kobe, Kobe doesn't step down from a challenge. He accepts it.
I would suggest you stop talking about my nephew.
I think that's not really up to me. I think that if your nephew has nobody to look up to, that...
Keep talking about my nephew.
If your nephew has nobody to look up to, that is going to figure out how to raise him.
Kylan.
Kylan.
I need you to leave right now, Kylan.
Wow.
Just think that's unfortunate. He doesn't have a man.
Kylan. Kylan, I need you to leave right now.
Crazy, right? Crazy.
What the fuck?
It's out of control.
What's the name of the host?
Julie Chen. Yeah, Julie Chen.
Julie Chen's going in.
Shocked. She's like, yeah. Kyle, I need you to leave. And there's a moment where...
You need to leave!
Yeah. He's like... there's a moment where he's walking out and he forgets his water bottle. So he turns around to go get his water cup. And it looks like for a second that he's coming back to swing on him or something. And that's when she was really it was electric TV. It was insane. And that's the Thursday episodes of Big Brother are all live evictions. So
yeah,
it was crazy.
What a weird thing to say. This is a weird thing.
Oh, it's just plain out ruthless. I mean, to say hey, your nephew's going to need someone to look up to, essentially saying you're not that person and your brother's dead. So what's up? Just wildly inappropriate. And the other thing, too, is he's since done exit interviews and stood by it. He wasn't heat of the moment, I lost myself a little bit. No, he's like, I was objectively correct in what I said. And that's it. He's just totally cool with it. And again, we just played the audio, but he has this grin on his face all the time. He looks like a psychopath. Because right after saying all that to someone, he's just sitting there with a smile on his face. This guy's crazy.
Yeah, it's like the Joker and Joaquin Phoenix.
He's
out of control.
And the other thing too, now this is more of a talking point thing, and it's interesting the way the internet kind of picked it up and dealt with it, but Survivor, first episode of season 41, They're promising like just a new revamped version, and there's a lot of things going on. The first episode was good. I definitely recommend the show to anyone. If you missed it, watch it. Grab it on Paramount Plus. You can watch it right now. But there was a little drama. So if you've watched any season of Survivor, every single time there's a challenge, Jeff Probst, the host, he says, "Come on in, guys.
Come on in, guys."
That's just what he says. Every single time he said it for seasons on seasons. One of the things he asked right when the show started was, does anyone essentially have a problem with that?
If something comes up that you want to talk about it. Who knows, we might learn something. In fact, I'll start because I need your guidance on something. For 20 years, I have used one phrase to call people in for challenges.
Come on in, guys!
Come on in, guys.
Yeah.
Love saying it, it's part of the show, but I too want to be of the moment. So my question to you to decide for us, in the context of Survivor, is a word like guys okay, or is it time to retire that word? What do you think?
I personally think guys is okay. It's part of, you know, come in guys is like such a signature expression, and you know, I as a woman, as a queer woman, do not feel excluded by guys.
Yeah, does anybody disagree?
No.
We feel okay keeping guys.
Guys is good.
Okay, mark it down, disgust and despair.
So he goes on, he just continues to say it, the show moves on. About an hour in, another character is like, "Hey, you know what, Jeff? You asked us about it. It was the first day. I was, you know, stressed, flustered. We just got here. I didn't know what to think. Since I've been thinking about it, I don't think you should say guys."
Ricard, how you feel? We're 3 days in to the biggest adventure of your life. What's the vibe?
So when we saw you on day one, you asked us a question. You asked us how we felt about coming in, guys.
Right.
And the reality is, there was so much going on. There's so much commotion, cameras, my hair is messed up. I'm half crying. I don't have the capacity to do what I'm really supposed to do, which I regret. I don't agree that we should use the word guys.
Huh.
I fully agree that we should change it, whether it just be dropping the guys, changing it to something else. I just don't really agree with it. The reality is Survivor has changed over the last 21 years. And those changes have allowed all of us, all of these brown people, black people, Asian people, so many queer people to be here simultaneously.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I gotta say, I love that you thought about it more. I love that you had the courage inside a $1 million game in which standing up anytime is risky to bring it up again, because I'm with you. I wanna change it. I'm glad that was the last time I will ever say it. And realizing in this moment, somebody right now is on social media saying, "Oh, he caved." It's at Jeff Probst on Twitter. I'll probably never read it anyway.
And it was just really weird. It was kind of weird. We felt like kind of bad for the woman who was like, "Hey, you know, it's cool. It doesn't matter." Kind of like he shitted on her too, indirectly. Like it all just felt a little odd. And people online were not happy about the way it was handled. Yeah. I think that collectively, no one really cared that he stopped saying it. But there was a very like performative, like self-serving aspect of the way it got handled. Like if he had just started the season and was like, "Hey, you know, we're not using that anymore. It's not as inclusive," or just didn't say it at all and then did an interview later and was like, "Why don't you say guys anymore?" And he's like, "Oh, well, just felt like it wasn't inclusive enough. And, you know, we changed with the times." And I think everyone would have been cool with that. They handled it so awkwardly that, I don't know, people just had a lot of opinions. Either way, if you're used to hearing Jeff Probst saying, "Come on in, guys," no more.
And then do you think that's more him or more like Big Brother up in Survivor? Like more...
the Big Brother of Survivor. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure it's a collective. I'm sure there's a table like of people all talking about it. Yeah. It's funny because it's something I didn't notice because I also am someone who says guys a lot. And so I'm just aware of that as a thing that people may be offended by. And you kind of have to like always be a little aware of it. So I don't know. I've always been aware that he says it, at least the past couple years. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure I think he's cool with it. I'm sure, you know, you see like, was it Chris Harrison, you know, loses his job on The Bachelor. The last thing Jeff Probst wants to do in his 41st season is be like, "Yeah, you're off. You know, you're no longer the host of Survivor because you kept saying guys to everyone, even though we're not all guys. And you're, you know, a bigot or whatever. So you're done." I mean, that's... So I'm sure he's happy to be progressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good gig, bro. 41 years.
Yeah.
You retire, like, as host?
I mean, really? I don't think, why would you?
Well, I mean, to get money and not work, right?
Oh, man. But, I mean, what is work for him? He goes to, like, these tropical islands and is there for, like, a month. It sounds great. Work. He's always showing up on boats and helicopters and stuff. He's living the life, dude.
He's, like, hammered the whole time. It's just, like, him, TJ Lavin, like, they're all, like, collectively, like, hanging out. Just...
Yeah. Well, TJ, they've said that he brings, like, his whole family. They get, like, this huge Airbnb. Like, he brings, like, family and friends. And they kind of just vibe out there. And then he'll be there ready for challenge days. And the other days, he's out discovering the world with his family.
I think Jeff Probst is, like, making movies. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
oh, yeah. He does have some IMDb credits. He definitely does. But, yeah, so it was just crazy days in the world of reality TV.
Yeah, that's, like, that's a lot for you. I think these are very big moments. And this happened all in the same week?
All the same day.
Oof. Overload.
Yeah, that was last Wednesday. So, next Wednesday.
That was like the trifecta, right? There's like the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's like,
yeah, which the Challenge, Big Brother, and Survivor were all on Wednesday. Yeah, that's gonna happen next Wednesday. Is the last Wednesday that'll happen. So,
dang,
it's a beautiful thing. At least
you were able to get two out of it.
Yo,
all right. So that means Big Brother is ending pretty soon, then.
Yeah, Big Brother is. It's the last week right now. All right, well, let's hop into our quick hits here. We got a couple things. First of all, you know, we've been covering this story for days, weeks, episodes, and I'm happy to say that this hellish ordeal is finally over. Clifford is going to be released in 2021. Paramount got their head out of their ass, and they're ready to go. It's going to be in theaters and on Paramount Plus on November 10th. So there was a world where we were not getting Clifford in 2021.
I didn't realize how much we needed it. I think it would have been very bad for us. 2021. 2021 doesn't have to be like 2020. You know, let's get
exactly Clifford in the movie. Exactly.
And let's have it be a hit. This has to be a hit.
Yeah. No. Even so in the article, it was like it was screened at CinemaCon with a very good reception. So. Everyone's saying this is a good movie.
I cannot believe that at all, dude. I just can't. I'm sorry, Clifford.
Well, luckily, it'll be on Paramount Plus, so you can watch it from the comfort of your own home.
Or fear. That's scary. It's still
or the big fear of your own home.
It's a horror movie, dude.
Yeah, right? It's all over the place.
It's a kaiju. He's like a kaiju. He's like Godzilla. He's running around.
That, bro. Yeah. Let's open up that door. Like, what? Let's talk, Godzilla versus Kong versus Clifford? Like, where's that at? Clifford. Where's that movie? Let's get that universe going.
You get pretty vicious. I've seen some dog attacks. I don't know if you've been bit by a dog. I'm a dog bite survivor.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, it's rough. Bit by a dog? Dude, no, I'm an adult. Bro, and
I was a hero. It was my aunt's dog. Was eating a little piece of chocolate. Was about to eat a piece of chocolate. I ran over there, grabbed that piece of chocolate because you know dogs can't eat chocolate, right? Apparently, like they'll die
a little bit.
I was like 12 or something, and I was like, "Let me save this dog." Grab the chocolate, pick it up. The dog bites my pinky, and then I lift up the dog. So my dog this dog is hanging from my pinky, and it was like that for like 10 seconds, and then the dog snapped out, and my pinky got really inflated.
Ooh.
Did not go to a doctor, right? Because Hispanic Heritage Month, we don't go to doctors. We just figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's my story, and I'll keep telling it till the day I die.
Oh, I like that. So Clifford, the big red dog, he's red because of all the bloodshed.
Correct.
I like that.
All the pinkies he's bit off.
Damn.
It's a savage. Watch Clifford just be like an ancient creature. You know, someone that's been around for like decades. Collected blood over the years.
I mean, it could be that. There's no reason it couldn't be that movie.
I need this movie. I hope that happens. I hope the movie starts off with like a ancient prophecy with like rocks and like pictures of like big ass dogs and they summon him.
Yeah, and then it just goes to like a just normal family comedy and never addresses like the first 3 minutes of the movie. That'd be awesome.
That's my Clifford movie. Hey, shout out Clifford. I'm happy they released it. What a whirlwind, right?
Yeah. I just, when I saw it, I was like, oh, like literally, I felt like the weight was lifted off my shoulders. I was like, I can't keep, you know, Paramount. Because Paramount not putting out that movie, essentially, they were like, there's no hope for this year. But they finally, they gave us a little bit. They took everything out of theaters. They took Jackass from us. They took Top Gun from us.
Yes.
Give us back Clifford. You know, give us our dignity. And they did.
Our sweet prince. The big ass red dog.
Yeah, big ass blood red, covered in blood. Normally a white dog, but stained red from the murders. So next up we got... So this is actually kind of... well, the cast makes it big news, but there's also the fact that this is just such a staple of American culture and the video games that we're used to, but they're coming out with an animated Super Mario Brothers movie, and they revealed the voice cast, and there's definitely some feelings about it, specifically about one person. So I'm going to start from the bottom and go up. We got Keegan-Michael Key playing Toad, Seth Rogen playing Donkey Kong, Jack Black as Bowser, Anya Taylor-Joy as Peach, Charlie Day as Luigi, and then Chris Pratt as Mario. And the people, or the person that people seem to have a problem with is Mr. Chris Pratt. Now, man, I'm sure this resonates with you 100% because you hate Chris Pratt. We've set that in stone on this podcast that you just completely hate him. You think he's a bad dude, and you kind of think he's a dirtbag. And so what do you think about Chris Pratt voicing the Italian character made in Japan, Mario? What do you think about that?
Apparently, did you see his Instagram video? He's like talking about how he was a kid.
He like stole a quarter or something.
Stole a quarter from a wishing well.
Yeah.
So he could play the game. And he was like, oh my God. That's.
So when I was a kid, I lived in Lake Stevens, Washington. And there is this coin-operated laundromat near my house. And it had Super Mario Brothers, the original arcade game. Oh, I love that game. I never had a quarter, it felt like. I'd either steal them from the wishing well. You know, I'd steal. That's wild. Just dawned on me right now. The quarter I stole out of the wishing well to play Super Mario Brothers has come true that I get to be the voice of Mario. But I clearly stole someone else's wish. So just waiting for that. That row of karma dominoes to come crashing down on me. But as it is right now, it's a Mario. That's not the voice. You'll have to wait to hear the voice, but we've been working hard at it, and I'm really excited to announce that I'm going to be the voice of that video game that I dreamed about playing as a kid. Dreams come true.
I just wish, people would stop saying fake things. You know, like we were just talking about a story right before about how someone was talking about my kid said this, and there's so many tweets like, oh, you know, my 5-year-old looked at me and said, why don't we feed everyone? It's like, shut up. Like, your kids aren't saying these things, you know? And so it's the same way, like, Chris Pratt, he's like, oh, yeah, I stole a quarter out of the well to play and somehow stole someone's wish to play Mario. But this is, you know, that karma. It's like, stop. Don't tell fake stories. I'm just tired of fake stories. That's all. But continue. Sorry.
That's that, like, the Rock effect. Like, he gets, like, a sponsorship. Let's say it's, like, Auntie Anne's. He's like, oh. Ever since I was a child, just going into the mall and just smelling, smelling the pretzels of Auntie Anne's. It's just so damn good. I'm proud to be a sponsor. Auntie has been my whole dream.
Yeah.
And I'm a big boy. I was a big boy growing up, so I ate a lot of Auntie Anne's pretzels. Yeah. I thought it was cute. I thought it was a cute story.
Nah, it's
so but funny. Is it real?
Is
I don't
it real,
know, man?
Do you think it's
this
real?
This is Hollywood, bro. Hollywood does this. They just love to do this. They did the whole generator. They found out the whole formula, and they're like, "Chris Pratt's our guy. Let's get him in there."
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't fault them. Well, people are faulting them now. Part of the Chris Pratt drama, which I think is unfair, is that he's a Republican. People just don't like him because he's like a Republican. That's like part of the reason. Like, he's a Trump supporter. And yeah, he like goes to church. Like, people hate him for that.
Best friends with Schwarzenegger.
Like, yeah. So I don't think that's fair because, you know, you can't just hate someone for being a Republican and then other people are going to be like, watch me. And they will. And they have. But I feel like the Chris Pratt stuff is like unwarranted because he hasn't shown himself to be problematic. And then they would argue, well, supporting anyone like that is problematic. So be it. And that's just the way the internet is. But I feel like Chris Pratt gets a lot of hate for that, for like, totally unwarranted. That right. being said, is he Italian? I'm pretty sure he's just white.
You know?
With no spices.
like bland.
Not one, yeah, not one spice. Just a white, just a white.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, he sells. It's been his whole life dream to do this. But no, I mean, it's like why not just get like, can't you just get like the original? Well, not the original voice artist, right? But like,
yeah, well, the guy who voices Mario for the games and everything is—he's like alive. He's a person. He exists, and apparently, he's going to be involved with the movie, just not as Mario.
He's like the one that's drawing like, pictures of like Mario with like a Trump hat, like a red Trump hat, so the red M hat, you know. And it's like Chris Pratt, like he's doing hate images, propaganda, anti-propaganda for this game.
That's crazy. Movie.
The thing about Chris Pratt is that Lego movie, right?
He
was just so good in it, like just being that guy. And so I don't know how they'll portray Mario in this movie, but if they just copy pretty much the Lego movie, then I'm sure it's going to work out. I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like there's a chance that this is going to be, like, this movie might be huge. Because it's the Mario Brothers. It could be gigantic.
Not to support Chris Pratt here, right?
Mm, I know, but you hate him.
The original movie. I think Bob Hoskins, he was Mario, right? In the original.
Oh, yeah. In the first movie, possibly. The
first one.
Yeah. The one that happened in the sewer.
English, looks like.
Oh. Well, that was before. That was when. His name's
Sir Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, but it was a different time. See, that's when everyone could be. Italian, you know.
He was born in Bury St. Edmunds, England. That's as English as you could get, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's not Italian. Yeah, that's the original colonizer right there.
He's not Italian.
No, but it's a different time. All the hate? It's a different time. People were ignorant back then, all right? They were ignorant. Now we know better.
Yeah. And Charlie Day as Luigi, I think that's where we messed up. Because I don't know how he's going to work well with Chris Pratt. I don't know if they'll have chemistry.
I mean, Charlie Day as an animated character to me just sounds like hilarious. But
he's already kind of like an animated
person. Yeah, he yes. Yeah, he essentially is an animated character walking around. His voice is just so distinct and also not very Italian. So I don't know. I mean, Luigi's like
I'm not going to say anything else because, like, if I explain how this works, it's like pretty racist. So let me just stop.
All right.
I'm like, yeah, I was going to, yeah, let me stop myself from saying
something. But Anya Taylor-Joy makes sense. She's like a white woman that they're trying to save, right?
Does it make sense?
Is she Italian?
Is she Italian?
She's, I don't know. I've always seen Peach as a white woman.
I can't tell you how she sounds like, though.
Yeah.
Like, if it's like Scarlett Johansson, it's like, oh, I recognize that voice.
You didn't watch The Queen's Gambit?
No.
Ooh, that's a good show.
Does she talk or does she just play chess all the time?
She just moves chess pieces with her mind, but that's it. No, she talks. She talks.
Shout out to her. The Witch is a great movie.
Yeah. And I mean, Jack Black is Bowser. That feels like it just makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's loving this.
Yeah.
It's funny because people are like, you know, Cass, Bowser, Jack Black. They're like, yeah. Chris Pratt, Mario. They're like, oh, well, hold up. That's take a step back.
It's also funny because it's like they're video game characters, you know? And so I know Mario's like, it's a me, a Mario. But like, shut up, dude. Like, who cares? People are so annoying. Oh, my gosh. Like, I just can't. And Chris Pratt, yeah, I mean, he's kind of turned into, like, the Harrison Ford of our day, and it is what it is. I mean, right? Okay. Yeah, he's, like, the lead of Guardians. He's the lead in the Jurassic Park movies. He's got the Lego movie on lock. He's about to do this. Like, these, you know, big tentpoles. I mean, Harrison Ford was doing, like, Star Wars and
Indiana Jones,
and so I mean the Marvel movies, you know, to be leading the Marvel franchise, and then also Jurassic Park, which is one of the most successful franchises of all time. I mean, he's that guy.
That's true. That, man, has there been a casting choice that has, you know, people up in arms as big as this? This went viral. This is on Twitter. Everyone was talking about. I got texted this.
Someone casting choice this. That every, yeah, people were freaking out about Little Mermaid. People were freaking out about Cinderella. Yeah, people freak out about every casting choice. It's literally every other casting choice.
This is gonna blow over.
It's
not a big deal.
Has had this much backlash. Every single. This is
the flavor of the week.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Dumb really. Hollywood just being racist again and just not giving a damn about appropriation. That's fine.
It's fine. I refuse to care about this. I don't. And if you're like, if someone's like, no, this matters, you can no, shut up. No, it doesn't. This doesn't matter. This doesn't matter at all. It really doesn't. Whatever. I hope the movie's cool.
It's gonna be fun. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. And like you said, I think it's gonna be a hit, right? It's got the makings of it.
I mean, it just has the potential to be by the all star cast and the fact that it's Mario.
Just upset it wasn't Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, thank God.
It should have been Mario.
Well, what's up? What do you want me to plumb here? I don't know. That's not like a Ryan Reynolds impression, but yeah.
You got to be a little bit more sarcastic.
I don't know.
That's funny.
So let's see. Next up here, yeah, this trailer kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, not expecting it. Wasn't looking forward to it. I guess I hadn't checked Denzel's IMDb in a while, but the Tragedy of Macbeth trailer came out. Starring Denzel Washington and Frances McDormand. It's like a black and white movie based on the Shakespeare story. It looks kind of weird. It definitely is very A24. And yeah. I don't know, man. What are your thoughts on this trailer?
It's terrifying. Looks like a nightmare.
Yeah, it looks like a horror movie, right? Kind of. Like in a weird way.
It does. It looks like something that you see. You know how in The Ring there's like that VHS tape and things black and white and a lot of things are happening and there's no explanation. What it felt like.
Yeah, to me it reminded me of Insidious when they go to like the other side or the unknown or whatever it's called, and it's just kind of like looks like there's just a fog machine in a nondescript room with no walls. Like that's how it kind of felt, but like that's like what the whole movie's gonna look like. So I don't know, but so everything about this movie I'm just like out on, like, right? Like it's Frances McDormand, you know, I think she's a very talented actress, but also does not seem to care about entertaining me at all. So, a movie like Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, loved it. Yeah. You know, Nomadland, you know, I wanted to walk out 1,700 times, right?
Damn.
And 1,700. Movie's not even, it's not that long, man.
Such an even number.
Yeah, and you know, the smoke thing just kind of looks weird. It looks like super artsy, which is not really like my thing either. Oh, but, you know, I see Denzel Washington in a movie. And if there's one person who can engage me just based off their just charisma that they've earned, it's Denzel, like 100%. So I'm actually cautiously excited to watch this movie.
I'm not. This movie, Dubs, you're lying to yourself.
No.
This movie's going to be boring as shit.
It might be, but Denzel's in it.
The hell's the Tragedy of Macbeth? What is even that story?
I don't know.
Because this looks like it's in older times.
Some nerd. Yeah, no, it does.
Like the Green Knight. This is taking place while the Green Knight is happening. That's pretty boring as shit, bro. And it's Frances McDormand. You already don't like her.
No, I'm not. Well, I like her. I just am not convinced she likes me.
Yeah, she probably hates me. She does not like me
at all. You gave Nomadland a much higher score than I did. I think she likes you.
Nah, I don't think so. I think she hates her husband. She's married to one of the Coen brothers, right?
Yeah, Joel Coen directed this. This is the first movie that is being directed by one Coen and not two Coens.
Oh, is it the one she's married with?
I don't know, but I hope so. Otherwise, awkward.
Yeah, you better not direct my wife any nudie scene, brother.
Yeah, it's like I'm getting Denzel. It's gonna happen. So I don't know. I'm excited. I think Denzel is just an electric performer, and so they had this at a film festival recently. I think it was I forget which film festival it was, but it received a rapturous standing ovation. So
damn, what does that mean?
It's as if people Jesus came back,
ascended into the sky.
Yeah, people started floating. Someone that was Denzel saying,
effect, bro. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. People flying up.
Woo. That's what I'm saying. It's like a Preacher's Wife sequel. It just happened, you know? And I think I could like it. Now, I probably won't. I'm not lying to myself. I probably won't like it. Everything about it reads like this is not good. But then there's Denzel. And I think I could just watch him like make a PB&J and be like, damn, this guy's so talented. Like, I just feel like he has that.
After the little things, that trust went away a little bit.
Ooh. But he wasn't the problem with the little things.
No, it was Jared Leto's weird ass.
Yeah, Jared Leto was weird. The story was weird and all over the place. I mean, Denzel is still Denzel. I just think yeah. it's going to be watchable because of him.
That's true.
If he's on the screen, I'll just stare at him and be like, wow, look at you. Look at you. Look what you've done. You're so talented.
Is he going to have an accent?
Oh, God, I hope not. I'm not ready for that. Right? I'm not ready for that.
Yeah. I hope he's the only one without the accent.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. But it comes out. I mean, this is a movie that's coming out December, like mid-December, in theaters, and it'll be on Apple TV Plus, so no one will actually see it.
No one's gonna
see it. Yeah, but it just, I don't know, kind of came out of nowhere. I was shocked. I was like, oh, new Denzel, let's go. And I opened it up, and I was like, okay, all right.
Black and white, and it was a weird season. It took me like 30 seconds, I think, too. Yeah. I was expecting more, but then half the trailer is just them advertising, like Apple Plus or Apple TV.
Yeah. It's
a very nice logo, very sleek.
It's the way of the world. And you know who's really winning, though, is people who just download movies because everything is online now and high quality, and it's coming out quick. It's crazy. Yeah. All right, next little quick hit here is really not even a quick hit. It's more just it could be a quick hit of a quick hit of a quick hit. But Netflix is having a whole ta-dum effect. It's called like ta-dum to, you know, their Netflix sound. And it's on YouTube.
Right? I'm so stupid. I thought it was an acronym.
Did you?
I'm trying to figure out.
Just realize it's.
It's like the universal. Yeah. Oh, like I was trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Nothing made sense.
Well, I was like, ta-dum. It took me a second at first. I was like, what is that? Like, yeah, but that's what it is. And it's 3 hours of just trailers for new Netflix content, but it's happening right now. Like, right as we're recording this right now, it is airing on YouTube. So we're missing it. This is what happens when you're dedicated to your craft. You know, sometimes we got to miss things. Now this reminds me of the Drake lyric. He's like, when all of my closest friends are out partying, I'm just here making all the music that they party to.
They always tell me nobody's working as hard as you. And even though I laugh it off, man, it's probably true. Because while all of my closest friends out partying, I'm just here making all the music that they party to.
You know, this is the curse of a creator. Yeah.
That's exactly. Me and Drake are the same.
We are the same. You know, you're probably watching the Tudum event and loving it. And, you know, we're here working. And, damn it, that's what we do. You know, I'm not going to apologize for that. But all that to say, it's happening right now. We will see, like, if there's something that is, like, epic that we have to talk about or something crazy drops, we may be able to find time in the next couple days before we drop the episode to record a little something. It just really depends on scheduling and how things work out. But we know they've done, I saw like a couple things before we started recording. They did like a scene from Red Notice, the new movie with The Rock and Ryan Reynolds. They've shown multiple clips from the new season of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
They showed a little teaser for the new season of Ozark. Showed some Money Heist clips. So there's a bunch of stuff going down. And by the time you hear this, it will have already been done. So, yeah. But it's happening right now. It was more just to say, you know, look at the sacrifices we're making out here. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Amen, brother. Amen.
So, on that note, let's hop into our review here for Dear Evan Hansen. The synopsis of this movie is this is the film adaptation of the Tony and Grammy award-winning musical about Evan Hansen, a high school senior with social anxiety disorder, and his journey of self-discovery and acceptance following the suicide of a fellow classmate. This is directed by Stephen Chbosky, who directed Perks of Being a Wallflower and Wonder, which essentially, if you're making a movie about a kid having a hard time at school, you go to Stephen Chbosky. Like, that's kind of what you do. And then it's written by Stephen Levinson, and that's who did the stage play. And then Justin Paul and Benj Pasek, who kind of worked on the music for Greatest Showman and La La Land, which really kind of made me excited for what might come in Evan Hansen, starring Ben Platt, Amy Adams, Julianne Moore, Caitlin Dever, Rotten Tomatoes here, the critics are rough on it with a 33%, and the audience is at a 93%. So very two different ends of the spectrum here. This movie, I feel like we're going to kind of spoil. I feel like we may hit some spoiler notes in this review, in the sense that there's really nothing to spoil. If you watch the trailer, the beats of the movie are pretty simple. Evan Hansen is a kid who writes himself a letter. Another kid steals that letter. That kid kills himself. The parents find the letter and think that Evan Hansen and their son were friends. And Evan Hansen lies about it and says, yeah, we were friends. And eventually, at some point in the movie, he's going to have to come clean, the circumstances of which, you know, you'll see if you watch the movie. Those are the beats of the movie. That's what happens. Obviously, some stuff happens in between, but that's really the movie. So I mean, don't be afraid to say anything, because it's kind of, everyone knows that's going to happen. You know those beats are going to get hit regardless. It's more like, are the songs good enough? And Madman, were they?
They were catchy. They were.
Okay. I would argue, comparing this to like Greatest Showman and La La Land, not that catchy. A little dark even. Now the content's a lot more dark, right? But I don't know. I mean, the songs were good. They were a good part of the movie, but at the same time, they were also not like fun at all.
There is a fun one. Like the funnest one is with Evan Hansen and the character that dies, Connor.
Yes.
And they're having a fun little like ballad, right? They're like the song is about them writing these like fake emails, right, to really sell the story that they were friends. Mm. And so he enlists in his family friend to help him do these fake emails. And while they're typing it out, Connor is singing it and Evan Hansen is singing it too. And they do a nice little dance. It's a really cute moment. And it's a moment that's really fun and kind of gives it that dark comedy kind of vibe. But then it's like you realize, well, this kid is dead and this is a fake story, so that the darkness hits again. And you're like, this is fun. But also like, it's like, are we depicting this kid that committed suicide into it being a fun thing? Like, it's not. And so, it's a little weird.
Yeah. Totally all over the place. Right. In a lot of ways. And I think that because you're right about that song definitely being the most fun one and also the darkest in context. Yeah. But you had mentioned that, I guess, the play, which I'm not familiar with the play at all, but that the play was a little more of a dark comedy, whereas this felt like it was trying to be more of a cautionary tale a little bit. I think a dark comedy would have been so much more entertaining. Now, that's a dark, dark comedy, right? Because you're dealing with, you know, teen suicide and social anxiety and all that stuff, which I don't know how that plays, and I don't know how much of a dark comedy the play really was, but you're right about that song kind of being one of the best parts of the movie, and it's also really one of the grimmest in context.
It's still like keeps intact the coming of age story, but the movie is a little different from the stage, you know, play. And And there was differences made. They cut some stuff, and if they would have kept the original song, where, you know, because I listened to this, right, because I was like, you know what, let me get the original source material. So I listened to the whole damn thing, and the first song, the thing that starts off with is anybody have a map, and it's essentially both their moms, Evan Hansen and Connor's mom, it's both of them trying to prep up their kids for you know, school that day, trying to give them each motivation. So it adds a little bit more context to the moms and to the kids themselves. And it establishes, you know, kind of like that dark comedy feel. And they didn't do that. They just got rid of that. And so it kind of paints it a little bit differently. And I think that was by design, right? Because they wanted to focus on Evan Hansen. But like, I don't think it really worked out for them. If they would have just kept that, then it would have at least made the tone feel a little bit more like it makes sense, because it is kind of like all over the place. But that's because they cut stuff. Stuff was cut up.
Yeah.
And that kind of jams up the movie. And, you know, the more we talk about this movie, the more you'll see that if you like the stage play, then you're going to be maybe a little disappointed with this film, because, you know, there was significant changes, and it kind of changes like the whole overall feel of the movie.
Yeah, it's well, again, don't know too much about it, but I'll take your word for it there. I feel like, you know, there was definitely some reviews talking about these movies like kind of irresponsible. So if it works for people, like, it works for them, but if it doesn't click with you, it's kind of like, wait, what the hell is this? Like, it almost feels awkward to watch. And because there's a couple things that this movie just does. One of the biggest, like, things with this movie,
yeah,
or one of the biggest issues I feel like I have, is this character that did kill himself, Colton, was kind of like a shitty dude and never had a moment of redemption whatsoever until like the very end, when they had a clip of him playing a song. There was no humanity for this character at all, this whole movie. It was all fake, right? Everything was through Evan Hansen. His parents could not even think of like anything positive about it. Like, they hated him. Like, everyone hated him. And it was like rightfully so, it seemed like. I thought that was so weird. Like, that it just, it felt like, for a character that's going to kill themselves and to have this be a cautionary tale, that you want to like almost give them a reason like to be better or not to go through that. But it's like this character kills himself, and it seems like everyone's like, well, yeah, he was, that's kind of what it was going to happen. It's really weird.
It's definitely weird, right? It's definitely weird. That first song, it just establishes, you know, who, you know, Connor is. And you know, you kind of miss out on that. And so they're
but even that first song does not establish who Connor is. It establishes the lies that Evan Hansen tells about Connor. But everyone that actually knew Connor has nothing but bad things to say about him.
No, I mean in the original stage
play. Oh, okay, whatever. Okay, yeah.
Because you're right. Because while you're watching this, you're like, everyone hates this kid. Like,
yeah.
Why is everyone so mean to him? And then this is someone that, you know.
Well, and he was mean too. Like, he was mean.
Struggling. Yeah, he's a dick, dude. He treats him and Anson so poorly. Like, I don't know why. Weird too. Just weird energy. Weird vibes. And yeah, the parents are, you know, but that's just like the parents, that you're right. The way that they respond to their kid committing suicide, it's kind of like, yeah, it was a long time coming. You know, like, we're like, yeah, he was kind of a dick. His sister hates him. Sister does not like him at all. And only starts liking, you know, her brother, based on the lies that Evan Hansen is saying.
Yeah.
And he's masking them, right? He's over here telling her how much he loves her and cares about her, just using the brother to get in her pants, which, you know, quite frankly, is super weird and is a problem in the movie too, because he, you know, is a kid dealing with anxiety and issues and, you know, is going along with this lie so he can insert himself in this family and just because he needs to be loved. Like, super weird. But when you have a son like Connor, apparently, then it's, you know, it's good. It, like, they were stoked because apparently Connor was a freaking dick, dude, and just an asshole. And they don't really give him any love.
The other thing that I was wondering how they were going to handle, and I think it was one of the better moments in the movie with Evan Hansen and his mom towards the end when they kind of talked about it. Because eventually he's going to have to fess up to the fact that he's lying. The movie probably would have been great, actually, if he just never did. That would have been hilarious. But, you know, he fesses up to it. And then, so there's this realization that this note that he wrote, which is kind of dark and kind of alludes to the fact that, you know, I'd rather just not be here at all. Would anyone care? You know, things of that nature. That, you know, okay, so we're upset with this kid, but he's also clearly a little suicidal, maybe going through some stuff as well. And so I was wondering, like, are they going to go hard on this kid? Or are they going to, like, forgive him? Or how is it going to go? And, I mean, the movie ends with just everyone hating him, too. Like, for lying. Which is fair, I guess. But it's also, again, just, like, a weird message where it's like, hey, like he had a good conversation with his mom. His mom was like, I love you. I'm sorry you feel this way. You know, like, and it was a really good moment. You know, I think there's a song too. It was solid. It hit. It worked. But then, like, the last scene of the movie is just him sitting by himself at a table and everyone, like, staring at him. Like, he's a pariah. And it's just this weird, like, if the message of the movie is it's okay to be yourself, like, we have to redeem these characters in some way. No one really has much redemption. Everything just kind of works out shitty for him. And it's valid because he did shitty things. But also, it just, that's why it feels kind of irresponsible. I don't know, it just felt weird. The whole movie felt weird. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it felt.
No, it's fair. I mean, it's the movie does make you feel a little weird. Full disclosure, I really wanted to come in and like this movie. I almost feel bad talking about like bad about this movie, because I have high hopes of it and I really like its message. And Ben Platt says that, you know, it's about, you know, the need to be seen and be heard and feel like your voice matters. And he cares really passionately about it. Ben Platt's gay, and I know that resonates. Like when it comes to suicide, the LGBTQ like community, I know it's a big thing. I know a lot of people really care about, you know, suicide prevention and mental illness and things like that. And I think it's a good message. I think it's a good thing to talk about. I think it's a great thing that to have, and for it to have been such a success, so many Tony Awards. Ben Platt won an award for playing this guy. And I think that's dope. This movie, just like you're saying, it didn't like translate well in a film adaptation, unfortunately. And the songs can only do so much, right? Like you talk about La La Land, Greatest Showman, you know, these are good, catchy songs and they do the movie well, but they're also better movies. This movie is kind of all over the place. And, you know, I don't know if that's so much the direction of Stephen Chbosky, because he does a good job kind of illustrating like, hey, this kid is sad. We should care about him. And,
okay.
When it comes to Perks of Being a Wallflower and Wonder or whatever, I think he's got a keen eye on that. That just didn't translate in this movie. Like it just didn't work out. Because, you know, things were changed up. Would you have liked it better if at the end, they don't reveal the big secret, they don't reveal that he lied, they just keep it to themselves?
I mean, I almost think it would have been like, I would have liked, oh gosh, I keep cracking my knee. I would have liked it in the sense that I like dark comedy, and so I would just, you know, sometimes it's like the bad guy winning in this movie. Evan Hansen's the bad guy, like, would be like, it's just always entertaining to me and always kind of funny to me. And I think it's just the millennialness of me where I'm just like, yeah, like let's flip the story on its head. So would it have been better? I mean, maybe. It's more like I just would have laughed. Like the credits roll, I'd be like, oh shit, they really did that? Like, damn, yeah. Okay.
In the original play, like they just keep it a secret. And then and he's like, oh, thank you. Like they still meet in the apple orchard or whatever, and they still have that final, like,
oh, but he never tells anyone.
He doesn't tell no one.
Oh, bro. Yeah. Well, that's yes.
And the family, they don't tell no one. And she says, you know what? We all needed that lie or something like that. It really brought my family together. They changed it up because now in the 2021 lens,
everyone's whatever, a little right? bitch. That's why
you have to be accountable. Ugh. You got to be held accountable of your actions. So they did it to make him a little bit more accountable. But it didn't really work out because he wasn't really held accountable.
I feel so valid.
Yeah.
With
how it was kind of like, hey, like, this kid's a dick. and everyone just hates him. And then his resolution is kind of like, hey, well, you know, I'm going to move on and I'm going to get past this. You know, it just makes him look more like a loser, dude. And I think that does the character, like, I don't know. It doesn't really do the character justice.
It just doesn't make sense because one of the things you mentioned is that, you know, Chbosky seems to do a good job of letting us know, like, hey, like, look at this poor kid. And we haven't addressed his age. So Ben Platt, let's see, he's 20 and he's 27 when they filmed this, or 26 and he's 28 now. Something like that. Yeah. So, I mean, he's 28 years old and he's, And he looks 28. Now, we've talked about this in the last episode about, you know, the older people in these movies. Now, he was in the stage play. They wanted him to be in the movie too. That, to me, that's fine. Like, I'm not going to overthink his age. And I didn't want it to be a huge factor when I was watching the movie. But there's this moment. Now, he has severe social anxiety. You know, that's kind of how it's presented. They don't say that there's any like anything other than severe social anxiety. You see he has medications, and so you just assume, okay, it's pretty bad, and he's going to a therapist and whatever. But there's a moment where someone comes up and talks to him. Well, Caitlin Dever goes up to talk to him, the girl that he has a crush on, and she was like, hey, I'm sorry about my brother. He's so mean. And he just sits there like almost shaking, like hunched over. Just because she spoke to him, and then she like goes to shake his hand, and he starts to reach his hand out, and then pulls it back, and like is like, oh, I'm sorry, and kind of like skulks slash runs away. It was the most awkward, weird thing. So there's this part of me that's like, I don't want to be unempathetic, right? To anyone, if someone saw that and they felt like seen by seeing that, then it's like, well, then I guess there's a purpose. But it felt very over the top. And yeah, he also felt 28 at that moment, right? Like, he just felt older. And so it was like, why is this old man, like, stressed out by this young lady? Like, I just don't, it just felt weird. Now, I don't know. There were so many moments like that where it just felt overacted. Maybe, like, in a movie versus a play situation, it makes more sense. But, ugh. Yeah, I just,
if I could. Yeah, if I could just add on to your point there, you know, he is Ben Platt's 28 now, right? 27, and he already knew that he might have been a little bit too old for the movie. Like, there was concerns; people were just concerned about it,
including him.
And he purposely lost weight, right? Grew his hair out a little bit, and was kind of like hunched over in a lot of scenes. I don't know if you noticed that; like, he's really hunched and very soft spoken. And they caked up his face with makeup. And so when he is singing, and he's an incredible singer. Like I said, this guy won a Tony. Incredible singer. Can really sing well, act well. And apparently while they were filming the scenes, he was singing live on set. And I think that's so damn hard to do and so impressive. Shout out to him. It doesn't help when he has all that makeup on and you see his veins pop out on his neck and you don't see any wrinkles. You see nothing on his face. It looks weird. I read somewhere where it's like the whole time, it was like a bad review. They're like, the whole time it looked like that kid that was like, it's like the meme of the kid that he's like nervous to talk or speak. And you just see veins popping out from like his forehead.
Oh yeah.
From his neck.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it looked like. You know, if I could just paint a picture, And every attempt, right, like, you know, to make him look like a child, it just did the opposite effect. You know, we had those concerns, right, with the trailer and with everything that you're saying. Those scenes are cringy. Like, you cringe at those moments. That one that you're talking about specifically, that's a big cringy moment.
Yeah.
Like, I feel, like, awkward about it. I was like, ugh, like, that's not good. And unfortunately, the movie just has those scenes. And it sucks because it buries him. It buries, you know, Evan Hansen. People know Evan Hansen from the stage play or whatever, love that guy. They're gonna see this guy and be like, man, he's so freaking weird, and he's overshadowed by Devers and by pretty much like everyone else in this movie. And it sucks because the movie is Dear Evan Hansen, it's about him, and it seems like he's just not the best one in the film, not the best character. And I think that's a bummer.
Well, you know, and there's Caitlin Dever probably stand out,
stole the show.
And even with Julianne Moore, Amy Adams, I mean, they were it was just not a great movie for anyone, really. I felt like I did enjoy, like you said, some of the moments with him and his mom. Maybe Julianne Moore is a little better. Amy Adams took up more of the movie, and was just, I don't know, it's kind of like just talking through tears the whole time. I don't know, it was a little weird, but I think it's kind of funny too that now is like, you know the beats of this movie. Like, eventually he's gonna have to own up to it. Plot twist, that's kind of a spoiler now, because I didn't realize the stage play, he doesn't own up to it. So that is a legit spoiler. So sorry, I'm not gonna go back and change anything. But Now that I know that, it's just kind of funny. Because I'm like, obviously he's going to own up to it. And you're like, you got to hold him accountable, Dean. So how do you want to rate this one?
I wrote down Cass, like his cast. That's so stupid.
Okay.
And then I wrote down letters because he writes himself little letters of affirmation each day.
Yeah.
But I'm really passionate about his New Balance sneakers. Like the New Balance sneakers, I guess, is like part of his look with like the, it's like the New Balance, like you build your starter pack of Evan Hansen with the New Balance sneakers, the cast, and like the blue polo.
Okay.
Which I think is funny. They were like, oh, the blue polo is back for the movie. We're going to keep it. Like, I was like, bro, that's weird. But for sure, I get it.
Okay.
And it's like a nice one. But was there anything that stood out for you?
No, I'm cool with the New Balance sneakers. All right, yeah, New Balance. I didn't even notice those in the movie, but if you're saying that's a prominent thing that people know, we'll do it. All right, so go. How many New Balance sneakers are you going to give this one?
I'm torn, dude. I'm telling you. I'm torn because there are things I liked, and I just don't think it landed well, man. And it sucks, and I love Stephen Chbosky, but I got to be real and not just, you know, glorify my rating. So I'm gonna just hit you with a 50. That's my score. It might be too high. It might be too low. But it is a 50.
Bro, you just buried this movie. A 50? I love it. The Madman. He came with a vengeance today. You know why? Normally we record on Friday nights. This is Saturday morning. He's like, motherfucker, I'm tired. I'm giving this shit a 50. Ooh, all right, cool. 50, I like it.
I recommend you just listen to the Broadway stage play on Spotify. It's on there. It's a fun listen. It really is. It's really a fun listen. I wish this movie was better. I like the overall message, but man. Three word review is going to be should have kept lying. Because I just like
yeah.
you said,
yeah,
it's just it would have been great. He's like in his 70s, and yeah, light the whole way through, married Zoe, you know, just having the time of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would have been a better thing. And you know, there's a point in the movie they want to give him money for college,
yeah.
And his mom kind of jams it up. And what? Like, he just doesn't get the money for college. Like, he still doesn't.
Yeah.
And Julianne Moore, you know, the mom in the movie was like, we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. Whether he gets a job or whatever, I got money. We're going to take him to college.
Yeah.
He takes a year off because he has no money for college. So, you know.
Well, that's one way to figure it out.
Money would have been nice.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Keep lying. All right, I love it, dude. Well, I'm giving this a 43 New Balance sneakers out of 100. I'm just so glad your score is so low, bro. I was expecting like an 82 or something.
It had potential to have been up there.
43 out of 100. I just overall just kind of mismatched things. Now, also, this is not my genre anyway. It's a musical, not really my thing, even though I really enjoyed In the Heights. And really enjoyed Greatest Showman and La La Land. Maybe I do like musicals. I don't know. But also like the angsty like teenager thing. I'm not really a big fan of that either.
Yeah.
So those are like two genres that just aren't really my thing. So I wasn't necessarily super excited to watch this. It's also 2 hours and 17 minutes long. Oh my gosh.
Feels a little long.
Yeah. And yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. 43. It was, well, I named all the issues I had with it previously, so I'll just leave that there. And my three-word review is going to be cautionary tale misfire. There was a way I feel like this could be done better. There's a way I feel like it could be done more even, like, maybe responsibly. And I just don't know if this was it, but I kind of want to see the dark comedy version. I may go listen to the stage play. Yeah, so that's that. That's that. Dear Evan Hansen, kind of a disappointment overall, I would say, for us. And man, that 50, that was brutal, dude.
It hurt.
I remember when I gave Mank a 50, and that was like hard for me. If I reviewed it now, I'd probably give it like a 2.
Damn. I thought you were going to say something higher.
No. But yeah, next week, there's three movies coming out that I'm excited to watch. So the big one, obviously, is Venom. Venom's coming out in theaters. But Paramount Plus is releasing Queen Pins, which I can't wait for. I mean, we talked about the trailer on this pod, and it's like, to me, it's like the return of Vince Vaughn, even though he was in like three movies last year that I just didn't know about. Oh, he was in Freaky. Freaky was good. And then, and then The Guilty, the new Jake Gyllenhaal thriller, is going to be on Netflix this week as well. So there's just a bunch of movies I'm hyped to watch. I don't know what to do.
Are you going
to
just review all three? Just do a review-only podcast? Oh,
it feels like a lot. I feel like
we had one of those, right?
No, I think we did like Soul. We only did Soul and Wonder Woman. There was one where we could have done three, and we still only did two.
I think we did. Didn't we do Black Bear and something else?
I mean, maybe
same episode,
but just two, right? Not three.
Yeah, I don't think we've
done. We've definitely done two before. We did Saint Maud and Judas and the Black Messiah. That was a double episode.
Yeah, we'll do three mini episodes. It's just three different reviews.
I don't hate that.
Release it like
yeah, that would be actually pretty solid for my sanity and all that. All right, well, that's our episode. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Peace out. Hey guys, that sounded great. Can we get everyone to reset? All right, take two.